Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Francis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother over here, Francis, watch a bad movie, critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we thought. What we fought?
We fought.
We fought. And this week is a request from a listener. He asked only to be said that this recommendation goes out to one of our fans, Don Banks, from North Cape May. And he suggested that we watch 1998's Godzilla.
Oh, boy. Don, I don't really much like you very much right now, because this movie to me was just straight up bad to the point of it wasn't even fun for me, but my brother here seemed to have loved it, so at least at
what? Even no point. no, don't you start putting words in my mouth.
You said you loved it.
I literally did not say the word love at any point.
Well,
I will say this movie is so much worse than I remember it.
Well, you saw it as a kid.
Well, let me go into that a little bit too. As a kid, I loved Godzilla. Like, you can attest to
it. I will confirm it, yes.
Loved Godzilla. I had, like, a bunch of Godzilla VHS tapes. Like, in fact, Godzilla versus King Kong, I watched that VHS tape till it just didn't work anymore.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I watched Godzilla versus King Kong and Godzilla versus the Sea Monster were two of my favorite Godzilla movies. I love them.
What about Mothra? Come on.
I actually don't really like Mothra.
Okay, well.
But Mothra does make an appearance in Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster, so does the little singing tiny girls that are only like 6 inches tall, and they sing like a song in it. But anyway, I still have my Godzilla toy that I had when I was like 8 years old. It's like the only toy that has survived with me through my entire life.
What about your whole chest of McDonald's Happy Meal toys?
those had to get thrown away.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah, the 90s were over, and McDonald's toys stopped being a cool thing you needed to have. But I did keep my Godzilla toy, and I have a Godzilla toy from when me and my wife were just dating, and I have a new Godzilla toy that my wife actually bought like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of all our new Godzilla toys up. So, anyway, Godzilla 1998. Basically what happened is Sony bought it from Toho, and they got the authority to make one American Godzilla movie. So they're like, who makes disaster movies in the 90s? Roland Emmerich. He's known for making Independence Day is his biggest one.
No, wait, it's a disaster movie. This is a movie disaster.
Did you write that down and you were like, oh, I can't wait to say
this
one?
I did, actually, yeah.
So this movie was directed and co-written by Roland Emmerich. He is entirely responsible for it. Well, not entirely responsible, because some of the actors are also responsible for why this is bad. Because it stars Matthew Broderick, Hank Azaria, Kevin Dunn, Jean Reno, and some girl named Maria Patillo.
Look for her IMDb.
Oh, yeah, it's blank. So,
oh, not really. It's got one thing on it.
So, we start off in the wonderful year of 1998 by doing the thing that you never do with a well-known character. You completely change his origin story. You make him from a Japanese sea monster who is a visual representation of atomic warfare made in the country that has suffered atomic bombs, the only country that has ever suffered the fate of being dropped an atomic bomb. Instead, we make it so that Godzilla's French.
Yeah.
He's the French tested atomic bombs in French Polynesia, and then he's a big iguana man. You know, Godzilla. Like who Godzilla is.
And
it's already horrible.
Yeah.
Why is Godzilla French?
Well, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good input. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I could. What do you want me to say? There's nothing to input there. I mean, really.
So, so it opens up, and there's all of this stock footage of American nuclear tests, because I guess we don't have stock footage of French nuclear tests. There's, like, all of these Polynesian iguanas also intercut with it, just to say, like, hey, Godzilla is just a mutated iguana. But what I love about this is they cut it to make it look like not only are the iguanas there, but they are witnessing the evil of man.
And they're taking it all in, and, you know,
like,
soon
it's close.
They will come back and destroy man for what they have done.
Well, like, it's close-ups of these iguanas' faces with, like, flashes of light over their faces and eyeballs, and it's like, I have seen the end times. It's a fucking lizard! You can buy it at a pet store for $20.
Oh, God.
So, the lizard is witnessing the evils of humanity. Flash cut to Japanese fishing boat, because we have to at least tease that it used to be Japanese. Godzilla attacks his boat and sinks it.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Chernobyl. Why? You know, another staple location of the Godzilla franchise.
Well, yeah, we needed radiation.
Yeah, so we cut to Matthew Broderick, who is singing show tunes in the rain. Speaking of rain, it rains through 90% of this movie.
What is this, The X-Files?
What?
The X-Files. I think 90% of X-Files episodes have rain in them.
I think you just made that up.
I actually didn't.
That's an exact number.
92.4. Well, I mean, I don't know, whatever.
So he's in the rain singing show tunes, and he's there to get earthworms because they're growing from the radiation in Chernobyl. It really doesn't matter.
I love how he gets them, too. I'm just going to shock the shit out of the ground.
Well, he draws them out through electricity, yeah. Which I think is true.
Yeah, well, if it is, that's one of the few things that comes out of this movie. Is
if it is, only if there was some way for us to confirm it. Too bad.
So if anyone knows, put it in the comments below.
If anyone knows,
if anyone knows, okay, go ahead.
So the U.S. State Department flies in a helicopter to Chernobyl to get him out of there because Godzilla.
Right, because they know he's studying the enlargement of creatures.
Of creatures, radiation, blah, blah, blah. So they're like, oh, you're an expert on that. There's somebody who's better than Matthew Broderick. There just has to be. This is the first scene where they start the hilarious joke of mispronouncing his last name.
I don't even remember what his name is.
It's Titopoulos.
Yeah, but they can, of course, they're like, Tistopoulos or whatever.
It's not a difficult name to say. If you look up the spelling,
oh, really?
It's pronounced phonetically. It's T-A-T-O-P-O. It's phonetic. It's Titopoulos. It's not hard to say. But they pronounce it, and it's a gag. It's a running gag in this movie.
Tatapoles?
And I don't know why.
Tatapoles.
Fucking Roland Emmerich must think that Greek names are hilarious. So they mispronounced Titopoulos no shorter than 12 times in this movie.
Was it that many? I didn't think it was that many.
Oh, it's a ton, dude. That alone is the perfect example of what I think is a terrible blight on a decade of movies known as the 90s.
There's not a lot of stuff that came good for movies in the 90s.
Because this movie really suffers from 90s goofiness, where everything is just a little happy, and everything is a little too jovial, and it just makes everything people do and say really fucking stupid.
Yeah, and what's funny is that didn't notice it back then, which is now you look at it. Wow.
But it kind of makes sense for the times that it's portrayed in the media. Everything was just a little lighter. The Cold War just ended. We had the Clinton surplus. We totally dominated Iraq in a war that lasted only 4 days. Everyone's driving an SUV. Whee! This'll never end. So let's sit back, pop in our VHS tape of Roland Emmerich's Godzilla, and eat some bagel bites.
I think I was
Here's the bagel bite theme. Pizza!
Time. When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. Pizza
Did you go see this in the theater?
I think I saw this like two or three times.
Ooh, it really was a hit.
There was it was in Hellertown.
Yeah.
There was a little 2-screen movie theater.
Right.
And it was like playing Godzilla and like, I don't know, some bullshit like Amelie or something like that.
Wow.
And I saw this a lot. And at the time I loved it. Like when I saw The Phantom Menace, I loved it too because I was a kid and I was a moron.
Well, and, most kids are.
And right. And when you're a kid, there is no such thing as a bad movie. It's just,
yeah.
Especially when you're a Godzilla fan. So you're like, when you're a Godzilla fan as a child and you watch a new Godzilla movie, you're like, oh, wow, everybody's speaking English.
Yep.
Like, so, like, this movie makes sense to me on that level, and it's still got a giant monster in it, even though he's, like, way smaller than Godzilla should be. He doesn't breathe fire. Frankly, he doesn't do a goddamn thing.
He runs away. But we'll get to that.
That's it. He runs. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, we should take a step back.
Take a breather. 1, 2, 3. Okay, go ahead.
So, after they pull him out of Chernobyl, we just cut to Tahiti, where Jean Reno and his French Secret Service squad, who are secretly trying to stop Godzilla in the name of France, because, again, Godzilla is French, interview the one survivor of this Japanese fishing boat. Jean Reno, what, hypnotizes this guy with a lighter?
Yeah, and it makes him say Godzilla.
No, he says Gojira.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay, I see. Yeah, I see what they did there.
Why did he, like, I don't get this
the
scene.
The plot
like,
never, guy, really never develops anywhere at that
point. Develops. After this scene ends, so does that plot. Like, there's this old man, he's sitting in a bed, and he's like, I'm really scared because I just saw a fucking monster. And Jean Reno's like, look at my lighter. And he's like, oh, yeah, that is a lighter. Oh, by the way, Godzilla. Scene ends. All right.
We won't advance. And then nothing. There's never anything.
Nope. Scene ends. Now cut to Panama. This is literally our 4th location in 10 minutes, and so far absolutely nothing has happened.
Head spins.
In Panama, we meet Colonel Clumpy. I don't know who. I don't know his name.
I didn't really pay attention to his name.
Yeah, he's played by Kevin Dunn. And he tells Matthew Broderick that he's on the team to study this animal. And this is where we see there's that gag where he's like, what am I supposed to be studying, Colonel Clumpy? And he's like, you're standing in it. And they zoom out, and it's like, oh, my God.
And he's like, where is it? No, I don't get it. Where is it?
He says that for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
He says that way too long. He's like, what? Why are you walking away? Where's the thing? I don't. He's like, ooh, I'm inside it.
That was a footprint. Oh, my God.
He does. He runs up to Kevin Dunn. He's like, sir, that was a footprint. He's like, I know you retard.
Why do you sound like,
that's why.
Why do you sound like a Smurf?
Well, let's talk about that then. Why is Matthew Broderick such a goddamn weenie in this movie?
He was more of a man in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
He was! I don't remember him having such a weenie voice in Ferris Bueller, which was made like 1983. But for Christ's sake, he is unbearable to listen to in this movie. When they pick him up in Chernobyl, he's like, but my worms, I was studying worms. Did you know that these worms are 12% larger than last year? Like, this is the dialogue of the main character. He's talking about how big earthworms are. Jesus fucking Christ.
Well,
Roland Emmerich, what have you done?
Well, you know, I don't know.
All right,
sorry, I don't.
Thanks for contributing.
Well, you know, I did this guy. Maybe he's like the nerdy scientist. You know, I don't. You know, that maybe that's why they had him played that way.
Yes, that is why they had him played that way.
Oh, good.
Because
I got
the nerd. Yep. Because he is the nerdy scientist, I'm saying that that was a bad choice.
Well, at least I got it right. What are you laughing at?
This movie was a hot dog, a.k.a. Francis Plays Ketchup.
Hey.
So, this is also the start of the beginning of where we hold out on showing Godzilla.
Like every other monster movie.
No, it was a really big deal in this one. And I remember this, and I don't know if you do, because this movie was, before it came out, was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. They advertised it big time.
Oh, the crap out of it. And I remember seeing these things where it'd be like a billboard on the highway, and it would say, like, his head is bigger than this billboard. say, like, Godzilla June 1998 or whenever it came out, and then there'd be, like, a bus, and on the side of the bus it would be, like, his foot is bigger than this bus. Like, they were really playing up, like, this ain't your daddy's Godzilla. This ain't your 8-year-old son's Godzilla.
And that's for sure.
No, because that Godzilla is entertaining. He had cups at Taco Bell. I mean, this movie was everywhere. And they were keeping what he looked like a big secret. Because it was supposed to be like, this isn't a guy in a suit. It's not a rubber guy in a suit, right?
Right, yeah, it's an actual Cinematron,
A Cinematron, that's what they call them.
Cinematron.
Yeah, so it's an actual Cinematron. And he's going to be very animalistic. It's not going to be on two legs like a guy. This is going to be like what an animal would look like if Godzilla was a real animal. And they don't show him in this movie for like an hour.
They'll show like, oh, his leg or
or they'll just cut him off at the waist, mm-hmm. as if like his head was, I don't know, the cum shot or something. Like, it's Godzilla, just fucking show him.
Yeah.
You don't show him for an hour. This movie's like 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Why is it so long?
Thanks so much, Don.
Who's Don?
Isn't Don the guy that had us watch this?
Oh, that's right.
I did something right.
You did. I'm not used to referencing Don, so when you said Don, I'm like, I'm Zach. Oh, speaking of keeping Godzilla hidden, do you know who designed Godzilla?
I do not.
It's a guy by the name of Patrick Tatopoulos.
Oh, dear. I see.
Yeah. It's all coming together, isn't it?
This is...
A guy named Patrick Tatopoulos.
What I remember from the marketing from this movie was the soundtrack. They yucked that up, too.
Oh, that P. Diddy song at the end? You couldn't turn on the radio in 1998 without hearing it.
I think it was a Green Day song on this soundtrack.
Did you burn this on a cassette tape?
No, I had a friend of mine who I was in a band with was like, you got to listen to this on the soundtrack, and he like had it, and I was just like, who buys like the Godzilla soundtrack?
Well, clearly the cool kids at school. So we cut to New York City, which is not identified by it being Manhattan, which is where we are, or calling it New York City. They call it the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
Give me a fucking break with this pretentious writing, Roland Emmerich. You're so clever. We get it.
What else? And was eerie was seeing that the Twin Towers in it.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, since this is, like, a 9/11-style disaster happening in New York City.
Right, yeah. And there they are. You're just like, ooh, wow.
Yeah. It sort of leaves a bit of a sour taste in your mouth when you go back and watch this. So, anyway, we're in New York, which apparently is in the middle of monsoon season, because it literally rains the entire movie. It's three solid weeks, and it rains every day.
Well, that's so they could get away with having a dark, thing with Godzilla.
Oh, you think it's so that they could hide how shitty this thing looks?
Yeah.
I mean, the subways would be underwater. The amount it's raining, it's fucking crazy. So we're introduced to this character, Audrey, who is she's the love interest, and she is played by the actress Maria Petillo. And she didn't do much before this movie, and this was going to be her big break, but her big break was a terrible movie that, frankly, she's terrible in, and after this, she sort of dropped off the face of the earth.
It didn't do a lot to jumpstart her acting career, if that's what we're trying to say.
No. Yeah, thanks. I think I nailed that home pretty good. But...
Well, you know, I'm just color commentary around here.
Thanks for bringing it home, though.
Yeah, no problem.
And I can tell, like, what... She's very 90s pretty.
Yeah. Crimped hair, or is it like...
Yeah, she's got that crimped sort of bleach blonde hair with, like, you know, brown underneath, like that chick on that, What If God Was One of Us. She reminded me of that chick.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know who that
Whomever that is. And she's got, like, a cute little nose, and she's 90s pretty, but, like, she's also 90s quirky. It's like, I always have a lollipop in my mouth. You're like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. She was, she's okay. She was semi-good looking.
Oh, until she starts trying to pretend to be another person, and then it's like, oh, what are you doing, lady?
Long pauses between her lines?
I just want to be... Wait, I gotta do a voice. I just want to be a big reporter in the city. I'm just trying to make my way. There's Matthew Broderick.
Oh, she had these pauses, and the pauses were for a facial change. She'd be like, I'm angry. Change face to angry. That's right. You know, it was so pronounced, it bothered me.
So she is just an eager young reporter in a busy New York news station looking for her first big scoop or whatever. She is the assistant to a sleazy news anchor who is played by Harry Shearer, and he is the first of many Simpsons actors in this movie.
Well, I didn't notice him. I didn't notice the voice or whatever when I was watching it.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't, because his normal voice is the voice of Principal Skinner.
Well, you know, I just didn't notice it. I haven't watched The Simpsons in a long time.
Well, neither have I. But he's the voice of Principal Skinner and a bunch of other voices. And there's three of them. There's three people from The Simpsons in this movie. And I think it really adds to my theory of it suffers from 90s goofiness, where it's like, hey, it's the 90s. What do you put in a big 90s movie in the summer? Hey, how about half the cast of The Simpsons?
I did notice Bart's voice.
Yeah, she's in it later.
Right.
So now we cut to Jamaica, where Matthew Broderick is with his team of 90s misfits, including Vicki Lewis from News Radio, because, again, it's the 90s, so we need that quirky, over-sexualized redhead a la Kathy Griffin, and a pudgy guy who has a goatee and a cold throughout the film. And in case you were wondering, yes, the fact that this man has a cold is supposed to be a joke. A very funny joke.
Well, that's 90s humor.
Like, that's it. He's just like, I have a bit of a summer cold.
Achoo.
Sneezes. Achoo. Here, Matthew Broderick, shake my hand with the hand I just sneezed in. Matthew Broderick's like, I don't want to shake your hand. And we're all supposed to go, oh boy, Roland Emmerich. This is... How did this not win the Oscar for Best Comedy? Frankly, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I was a bit... didn't think it was funny, actually.
It's just like... that running... The Tautopoulos thing, the fact that Vicki Lewis is like, well, hey there, Matthew Broderick, you look like a hot corn dog. And this guy's like, I have a cold. It's just like this trifecta of hilarity.
Well, you know, that's just how they did it in the 90s. And you know what's funny is we thought it was funny then.
Did we? God, I hope we weren't
did.
That stupid.
We did. We would. That was funny.
Oh, man.
And you know
I'm
our
glad.
Father would think it was funny, too.
Well, Dad would. Dad just, like, you get Dad to a movie theater, he's like, the pictures were moving and it had sound. It was good.
Oh, man. Every movie's good. He's kind of like a kid.
Yeah, I mean... I wish I could be like that. I wish I could go to a movie and be like, oh, it was in focus and everything.
Oh, boy.
But, so in Jamaica, they find this sunken Japanese fishing boat, and they're like, well, that's big. A big thing must have done that. Okay, good. Next scene. Now we cut...
That's good.
Now we cut to the eastern seaboard of the United States, where three American fishing boats are pulled under by some unknown force. What could it be? Maybe it's a ghost.
Godzilla, so actually. I thought that's who I thought it was at the time.
So we cut back to Maria Patillo with her friends in a diner, who are some lady and Hank Azaria, who is playing the character of Animal. Hank Azaria is the second Simpsons actor in this movie.
Okay, who does he play?
He plays Mo. He plays Apu. He plays, like, 40 other characters on the show.
He must have been using a different voice.
Not really. I mean, in fact, he actually uses Mo Sizlak's voice at some point in the movie.
Well, the movie didn't exactly have me crawling to listen to the dialogue.
Yeah, because you got to crawl to your TV to get to the speakers because you have your TV at the end of a crawl space, and the speakers are very poor. So if you actually want to hear the movie, you got to get all the way over there.
I put it on my tube TV for just the extra effect.
So I want it. I want this nice and curved, and only on 12 inches.
12 inches, 4x3.
So, Hank Azaria and his wife are playing the worst New York City stereotypes. Like, they are cartoon characters of like, "Hey, I'm eating over here, you piece of shit." She's like, "Why'd you shut up, you filthy bastard? I'm talking to my friend." He's like, "Hey, yo, hey." So, in this diner, Maria Patillo sees Matthew Broderick on the TV, and she's like, "He was my college sweetheart." And, we actually see her in the beginning of the movie because Matthew Broderick has pictures of her in his van when he's looking for worms in Chernobyl.
A la Stalker style.
And, because he's what, at least like 35 in this movie?
I remembered her from every time she walked out of the dorms.
I remember her when we were in college, like 12 years ago.
She never talked to me, but I had conversations with her, pretend in my head.
If he's at least 35, college was a long time ago.
Right.
It's a little creepy. That at least she's just like, "Hey, I remember him." He's like, "I actively put photos of you wherever I be." No, I'm sorry. "I actively put photos of you wherever I happen to be."
Why have we never done a cartoon together?
You know some South Koreans who will draw us a cartoon in a year?
Probably.
You do?
Well, I do know a couple South Koreans.
Oh, we'll get them working on a cartoon.
I think they're more into gaming, though.
Oh, okay. Well, they can make a Flash movie. We cut to the docks of Manhattan, where a 70-year-old man in a torrential downpour is going to go fishing in the East River. I can't even begin to describe to you how everything is wrong with that.
I think it was
the East River.
It was the best scene in the film.
First off, the East River is nothing but runoff and garbage. That water is poison. Yeah. He should be pulling a dead body out.
You get 28 tetanus shots in your stomach if you fall in.
And I mean, like, it's not like a light drizzle and this guy's in a raincoat. This guy is in a fishing vest and shorts, and it is as if 5 people are pointing hoses at him. It is like it's almost like they're in the Caribbean. It doesn't rain this much in Manhattan.
Yeah, and if it does, it's not that long.
No, for weeks. Yeah. It's weeks.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to go on the docks and catch a big fish. Oh, no, I caught Godzilla.
Yeah, and he's like, I got a big one. And then Godzilla, like, comes flying through the water to, like, come up on land.
So now Godzilla is here, and he just starts clomping around New York City. He must be covered in boats because they fall off him like fleas.
Well, here's the other thing, and I love I'm watching it, and I noticed it very quickly. He's not really out trying to hurt anyone.
Also, the other thing I noticed very quickly, he's not very big. Like, Godzilla is known for gumming up into places where the buildings are, like, at shoulder level max.
Yeah, the skyscraper. Yeah, the skyscraper.
Yeah, the skyscrapers. And he can punch them with his hands and whip them with his tail and destroy them. In this, he's only, like, 10 stories high. I mean, granted, which is big, but he's not really that big.
I just wanted to make that one thing known for later, that he's not doing it. He just tromps it around. He's not trying to kill anyone. He's not trying to eat anyone. Nothing.
He's not destroying any buildings. He can't breathe fire. So, like, outside of, like, him making big footprints and maybe, like, rubbing shoulders on a building, everything's fine. I mean, well, everything's not fine. He destroys a lot of shit.
Because he's just walking. I mean, that's going to happen.
Right. It's sort of collateral damage to just the fact that he is a giant dinosaur.
Take note of that, though, folks, if you're listening to this. In a bit, we're going to come back to that.
There's a great guy listening to his headphones 90s gag, where we thought, like, in the 90s, if you had headphones on, you were insusceptible to the world around you.
You can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything. You can't feel vibrations. Your peripheral vision is shut off. You wouldn't notice a goddamn dinosaur 12 feet away from you.
Because
you got
Manhattan.
Your headphones on, and you're listening to Dookie. And it's your favorite.
Dookie. From Green Day.
So then we have a scene where we see Mayor Ebert and his assistant Gene Siskel. Get it?
Yeah, wow, the play on Siskel and Ebert. Yeah,
because Siskel and Ebert were known for hating Roland Emmerich's movies, so he did this to be mean to them. But he doesn't even really do that, because Ebert is just a little fat and he likes candy, and Siskel is nothing. He's just another man. And outside of poking at Mayor Ebert being kind of tubby, that's, like, I mean, all I'm trying to say is, if you're going to bash somebody, like, really do it. Like, go
for
it. No,
this is half-ass.
Yeah, if you're going to name two characters, Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel, fucking, like, take them to task. Don't be like, you're kind of fat. He knows he's fat.
Can I take us off track for just a moment and go back to something? The soundtrack. I'm just going to name off a few people that were in this soundtrack. The Wallflowers. Puff Daddy.
The Wallflowers?
Yeah. The Wallflowers, Puff Daddy, Rage Against the Machine, Ben Folds 5.
Jesus Christ.
Foo Fighters, Green Day, Silverchair, and Fuzz Bubble.
It's a 90s. This is a who's who of the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, and these are all big names.
This was a big movie. This movie made money, though. Like, financially? I mean, financially, it did great. It cost $130 million, and it made $380. People saw this in droves. I saw it three times. I'm responsible for most of that money, frankly.
You're like, I'm responsible for $24.35
of that. It was the 90s. It was probably only close to, like, $20.
Wait, three movies?
Well, no, Dad had to come, too.
Yeah, and he was probably, and knowing Dad, he's like, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I'll see it three more times. So, Godzilla shows up to the mayor's speech. He drops another boat off of him because, like I said, he is just covered in boats. He drops like six boats. Or just like you can't see the upper half of his body again because they're keeping him a secret. So I just imagine, like, at first I'm like, okay, they're on his spines. But then I'm like, maybe they're just in his hands and he just every couple of feet he just takes one. He's like, I'm going to put a boat here. I'm going to put a boat over here.
Just keeps dropping them down.
He's dropping boats.
He's like, wow, these are heavy when you get out of the water.
Why did I take these? I can't hold all these. Who am I kidding? So, inside the news studio, we have our third and final Simpsons cameo. Nancy Cartwright is talking to Harry Shearer, and he's like, I need a big story, something that's going to really break news. And she's like, your story's right out the window. And he's like, boo, boo, boo. And she turns around, it's gone. It's
90s comedy.
So, the Godzilla fighting squad show up.
The Godzilla fighting squad? That's what you call them?
I don't know. It's better than Matthew Broderick's team of 90s misfits. Well,
he's not even part of the fighting squad. He doesn't even know what they're about to do.
Well, none of them do. None of them know what Godzilla is. They haven't seen him. The fact that he's in Manhattan is like, oh, good, we can finally just know what this thing is.
Right.
So after it's ran through the streets, it disappears. Godzilla disappears.
Yeah, and that was my first thing. Like, what kind of Godzilla movie is this?
So, because Matthew Broderick goes, well, Manhattan is perfect. It's an island with water on all sides. No shit, that's what an island is. But then he goes, but unlike any other island in the world, this is a place where he can really hide.
Really?
What?
He can really hide.
Then they go, they think he is hiding inside one of the buildings.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what? What could that possibly mean? Is he just taking a nap in Grand Central Station? It's Godzilla. He can't go. He's not like, I'm stuck in a revolving door. Like, where is he going? Okay, so this thing went from Polynesia to Panama, where it presumably walked across the entire
country. And no one saw it.
with no one seeing it. Not a single person saw it. Then it went to Jamaica, and then it landed in Manhattan. That is the absolute worst place for it to be. It could have stopped in any of those places and never been found. Apparently, it's very easy for it to hide in Panama.
Yeah, I know. The footprints just go across the whole country, and no one's seen it.
It just walked across Panama? Why did it go to New York? It's the complete opposite climate of where it was. It's like Godzilla was in Tahiti, and all of a sudden it's in Greenland. Don't worry, it should freeze to death.
Oh, my.
What, and he's like, what should we do about this giant cold-blooded lizard? Well, it's been raining for 3 weeks straight, and the sun hasn't come out. It should probably just die.
Well, the whole thing with where it, that, and I was like, I had to rewind it when he said that, because I'm like, is this really where they're going to go with this? What, does he have a secret base?
Apparently he does.
Like, it's, yeah, I know where it is now too, but do you want to say it now or give it away? Or?
Oh, we'll get to
okay.
it. So they start to evacuate the city, and the mayor's like, we have to open the city back up as soon as possible. Can we get everybody back in tomorrow? Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, this is like 10-9-11.
10-9-11, exactly.
This is the city is like nothing is open in New York. Like New York is nobody goes there now because this is Godzilla's house. Godzilla lives in Manhattan.
That would be a good name for the movie.
Godzilla's house.
This time in Manhattan or something.
Godzilla 2, this time. No, that would have been a good sequel if he wasn't already in Manhattan. But regardless, everybody leaves Manhattan because apparently they evacuate Manhattan in like 3 hours. Whatever. And then they're like, well, we got to get everybody back in there. And Kevin Dunn is like, dude, there's a fucking dinosaur there. Like, no.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, but the money and stuff. Then people are angry.
Amidst all of this, Maria Patillo is riding the subway in the next scene. I'm sorry. The subways are not running.
Yeah.
Godzilla is trampsing around. The subways are closed. Not to mention, they should be closed from all the fucking rain.
From all the rain.
So, Maria Patillo is on the... is in the subway, and she's making fake credentials so she can get close to Matthew Broderick to get information about the giant lizard so she can break and have a big story, right?
Yeah.
So then we cut to the command center of the Godzilla fighting squad, where they're having a meeting with the mayor of New York as if he is the highest authority that would be involved.
Yeah, basically, if that really happened, they would be like, yeah, just go somewhere else.
Not just him leave, somebody else higher than him would be there.
Right.
Very least, the Secretary of Defense would be like, yeah. All right, I think I should handle this. Yeah.
And they would tell him to just be like, don't interrupt, you know?
Yeah, I am, so many people here usurp your authority, it's not even funny. So they find out that Godzilla is burrowing through the subway tunnels because, you know what, at this point, sure, that too.
He's also a Tremors thingy.
Yeah, he's also a he's also a Graboid.
Yeah.
Because you know what Manhattan has more than any other part of the world? Land. There's so much land there. It's not like it's an island off the fucking Atlantic Ocean or anything.
Again, we're still on the thing of why did he pick Manhattan?
Oh, it doesn't make any sense. So the French Godzilla squad are doing lots of surveillance, which involves them being upset that they can't get a croissant.
I can't take this whole thing, man.
No.
You might have to do the rest without me.
No, hang in there.
It's just like we're not almost there. We haven't even gotten halfway through the movie.
All right, we're almost a third of the way through. We'll pick it up.
Yeah, Don, thanks so much, Don.
It's so long.
It's such a long movie.
I think it's the longest movie we've ever done.
Yeah, by far. Not even close, yeah.
So, they can't get a croissant or a good cup of French roast coffee. They should be happy that they can still buy food there. Goddamn New York is fucking closed. Pack it up and go home.
I love how you say it, New York is closed.
Well, it is! So their plan now is they're going to lure Godzilla out with a giant pile of fish. So they get a bunch of dump trucks. They dump a giant pile of fish on the ground. Matthew Broderick is standing there in the rain, of course, because it's raining. And he looks at this army guy standing next, this soldier he's standing next to, and he goes, "That's a lot of fish." And then there is a big long pause, and then the scene moves on.
And that's supposed to be funny. Yep.
Is that a joke?
That's supposed to be funny.
Why did we linger on that line that just sat on the screen like a dead dog? What, Roland Emmerich? What are you doing?
He's making a Godzilla movie.
That's what he thinks he's doing.
Yeah, he thinks he's doing.
So Godzilla bursts out of the ground, as we all know Godzilla to do, and it's 45 minutes, and we finally see him in all of his 90s awful CGI glory.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
bad.
And he looks terrible.
Yeah, very, very fake.
This scene is in the middle of the night. It's pouring rain. I mean, it's pouring rain. And you can still see, you still go like, ugh. He looks terrible.
His head is just bad.
This is what I've been seeing on the side of buses all summer, is to see this. This a giant iguana-looking motherfucker. So the military open fire on him. They miss and destroy a building. They fire rockets and just blow a building up because Godzilla's like, "My shoes are untied," and bends over.
Now this is gonna be, and this is gonna become a theme.
Godzilla runs away. He just runs
away.
He
just wants his fish, and people are trying to kill him.
He doesn't pick up a car and throw it. He doesn't see people and step on them. He's like, "Ow, that hurt. I got shot." And he turns around and books it. So then a bunch of toy helicopters come spiraling onto the screen, and we have a chase scene through the streets of New York because Godzilla, a 160-foot dinosaur, is incredibly elusive. The helicopters shoot at him, miss, and destroy the Chrysler Building. Well, now this that in itself is a 9/11.
Right.
We blew up that one building. Then we blew up this other building. That's a 9/11. Not to mention everything else that happened before and everything that's about to happen. And people are like, "You can't get a good cab in New York anymore. What's the problem? Hey, oh, leave, dude."
Again, this whole thing, like, again, we made a lot of jokes about how bad the movie is. But this particular scene, from here on out, I kind of feel really bad for Godzilla.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because they'd never have, in movies like this, you'd at least have that part where somebody's like, "We have to preserve him because he's a living thing," or "What if we can get him to a zoo," or blah, blah, blah.
No.
Their plan never involves anything but kill him.
And
this fucking thing.
And he's just like, "What are you doing?" Like, he was fine.
Yeah, he'll get shot, and he's like, "Ow!
I gotta get out of here."
He's just like, "Feats don't fail me now."
Exactly, yeah. He's just running, and yeah, it's just ridiculous that the fact that all they want to do is kill this thing. And he's like, "What?" And yeah, again, never is he just like, for no reason, he's like, "I'm just going to start killing things."
No, he never does any harm outside of, you know, he's big and he'll, like, knock into a building, but he never is like, "I am going to hurt people because I..." He doesn't have the evil intention that the traditional Godzilla does.
So, I'm just warning you, if you're going to see this movie, you'll probably feel a little bad during the movie, going like, "Oh my gosh,
yeah."
Why?
So, after this whole thing happens, Matthew Broderick finds some blood, because they hit him at least once, apparently. One of those guys must have pulled out the Beretta and hit him in the arm, and he picks up the blood because we did hit it, and he goes to an open convenience store to buy pregnancy tests. What?
Well, they're in it's in Jersey.
No, they're in Manhattan.
No, he's over in Jersey, I think.
He's in Jersey?
Yeah, they move. They go
Are
over
you
to Jersey.
Sure?
Yeah, because he sees the girl, and she is over there with the news in Jersey, which is...
No, she's in Manhattan. They're all in Manhattan because he has the blood. He has the blood, and he goes to a store down the corner.
I thought New York was closed.
That's where Godzilla is.
Okay. Then why is the store open?
That's what the point I'm trying to make, Francis.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, why is that store... Old lady at your bodega? Close up. Close it up. It's time to go home. A dinosaur just got shot with missiles what appears to be a block and a half from where your fucking store's open at midnight on a Wednesday. Lock it up!
Thanks, Don.
Also, Matthew Broderick's like, I need some pregnancy tests. Do you happen to have any that work on giant mutant lizard men?
She's like, I have all these. I'll buy all of them.
It's like, okay, I'm sure this will work. So Maria Patillo shows up. They finally meet each other. They have their meet cute. They talk about love. They talk about Godzilla being pregnant. She steals a VHS tape that's his top secret on it, which is just a funny thing to say nowadays.
A
top secret VHS tape. So Matthew Broderick brings up at a top secret meeting that Godzilla is pregnant and he's probably going to have a bunch of baby Godzillas. In the middle of their top secret meeting, they stop to be like, hey, everybody, you should be quiet. The news is on. And Maria Patillo took the top secret tape, credited Matthew Broderick for giving it to her. What a bitch.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, good.
He's like, I did not do that. And they're like, you're fired. You're so fired. So,
we're almost halfway through the movie.
We're almost halfway through. We'll pick it up, I swear. This one's obviously going to go a little long.
I can see that.
But it's such a long movie. We can't.
I know. No, we can't. Well, the final part we can.
Oh, yeah. We'll skip. Am I keeping you awake?
Oh, yeah. Hurting here.
So,
movie.
So, they watch news. Matthew Broderick is fired. Him and Maria Patillo meet and have an argument because she is a thief and a liar and a terrible person, not to mention just a bad actress. And he hails a cab and he goes to the airport. Animal, played by Hank Azaria, is like, hey, why you gotta be such a jerk to Maria Patillo? I'm gonna get in a van that I'm gonna steal, I guess, and follow you. And So he follows Matthew Broderick. Matthew Broderick is like, hey, you missed the turn to the airport, taxi man driver. And he pulls the window, and oh my god, it's Jean Reno. So now we all are in on the plan.
The French are here. The French, what did you call them? The French Godzilla or whatever?
The French Godzilla attack squad or whatever are here to stop Godzilla because it's the French's fault. But we don't want to tell anybody or make that public because that would be terribly embarrassing. But we feel bad. We made a giant monster that is destroying millions of people. So we'll help. So
the monster's not really destroying millions of people.
People are dead. People have died because of him. Regardless of how he has no evil intentions, he's stepping on cars. He's bumping into buildings. Somebody at least got a concussion from some rubble he knocked over and died. Uh-huh. People are dying because of him, regardless of how you feel about Godzilla on a personal level.
Well, someone will have to pay. Godzilla, it's you.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
Movie's called Godzilla. We got to...
I thought maybe, you know, we'd have a good story about a good lizard. Anyways, let's move on.
Anyway, so Animal and Maria Patillo are like, we're going to find that nest that he's talking about. Oh, is that the other thing we missed? He brings up the nest, and the government's like, that sounds like bullshit. We're not going to believe you. And they choose to not follow up on it.
Not at all.
Not at all. But the French will. The French are like, I think you're right. I think there's a nest. Matthew Broderick, would you like to join the French monster squad? And he's like, yes, and they join. And so now Maria Patillo and Animal are looking for the nest while Matthew Broderick and the Monster Squad dress up as military to go look for the nest. They get stopped at a checkpoint, and the guard at the checkpoint never asks for their IDs, never asks for orders, never asks why they're completely out of regs and have full beards.
Yeah, that's what I loved. I was like, did you shave this morning, soldier?
He's like, private, why are you 55 years old with a gray beard? And Jean Reno talks his way out of it with his stellar Elvis impersonation, because whatever. They both parties converge in the subway while they're looking for this nest. Godzilla shows up because at the same time, they're doing the fish plan again, and it's almost a complete shot-for-shot redo of the first scene.
First shot, yeah, the first
it's the
fish
first,
play.
It's the first thing. There's nothing different. Bunch of fish, Godzilla shows up, we shoot guns at him, we miss, he runs away.
And everything gets broken because of the military.
Right! Why are the humans the source of all of the destruction? Yeah. Is like, honestly, is this part of some message that the movie is doing a terrible job of conveying?
It has to be.
Because you have Godzilla. All Godzilla does is destroy buildings and crush things. And all he does in this movie is eat fish and dig a hole.
Dig a hole.
And drop the occasional boat.
Yeah.
Godzilla, as a character, is underused, misused, and just warped to be something else. This is not Godzilla.
Yeah,
so
it's, not, it's
he
definitely
runs
just not what we were expecting at all.
No, there are 75 Godzilla movies. They're all the same. Why is this one completely different?
Yeah, and you know, if I go to see a Godzilla movie, I don't want to care about the characters. I'm there to see him crush stuff and, you know, the fights and stuff.
So he runs away and jumps into the water. There are submarines there because the Navy has stationed nuclear submarines. There is a submarine fight. Godzilla gets hit by a torpedo and is presumably dead. So cut back to the Monster Squad, who has made their way to Madison Square Garden, which is now underground because he's just dug a hole and it collapsed in it. And immediately upon entering, they find, like, these 9-foot-tall giant leathery lizard eggs. They are like, oh, shit, you were right. Well, let's start attaching bombs to stuff.
Yep.
They attach bombs to all these eggs. And within a minute or so, the eggs start to hatch. And now there are hundreds of baby Godzillas. And this is where, for the next 45 minutes, this movie becomes Jurassic Park for no reason.
Yep, running through corridors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I mean that both literally on how this is basically a 45-minute copy of the kitchen scene from Jurassic
yep.
Park, and figuratively about how the plot has shifted from this silly monster movie to, like, a horror film. It's such a it's such a shift in tone that it's jarring.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was all right, this part. Not horrible,
well, I don't,
but...
Well, I don't think it was bad, but I mean... The rest of the movie was not what this is. Godzilla's running around. We're making, hey, all these New York jokes. And it's like, oh, I can't get a good croissant here. And it's like, oh, we're going to blow him up. No, the military doesn't know what they're doing. Now, guys are getting eaten alive while we are hiding from a horde of hungry baby dinosaurs and a bomb's about to go off. This wasn't what this movie was 20 minutes
it's
ago.
It's a blatant, you know, rip, try to cash in on the whole dinosaur hype.
Oh, very much so. And graphically, these things look worse than the big Godzilla.
Worse. Yeah, they're, 10 million times worse. Not that bad, I guess. Maybe going 10,000.
No, 10, no, they're bad. There are several scenes where they are just, like, floating.
It'd be great if you could see the strings on it, like Sesame Street.
Well, they weren't puppets.
I know,
they
I'm just saying.
Bad.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how you feel. Like, yeah, it looks
oh,
really
that's how
fake.
Bad
yeah,
they
it
are.
It looks that fake.
So, the French guys... all get killed except Jean Reno. They need to get the military in there to bomb it before all of these things get out and make a bunch of big Godzillas. Maria Patillo says, we should go to the broadcasting booth because there's a direct line to the news station because this whole thing, and I quote, is on an internet.
It's on an internet.
Right. It's on an internet. Whatever that means.
Wow, this movie just really, it's so dated. Like,
it's on an internet? What does that even mean?
I had one of those once.
Oh yeah, remember when you had to go to the store and buy an internet?
Oh man, this movie is just, it shows its age really bad.
So they start broadcasting in the hopes that the broadcast will get put on TV and the military will see it. They start filming, and this guy at the news station sees the little thing pop up, and he's like, the Rangers aren't playing a game tonight.
Oh, jeez.
No shit! Madison Square Garden is underground, dude. There's not going to be Rangers games for years.
Let alone anything in New York.
Like, he says that as if he's like, was there a basketball game tonight that I missed? No, what, are you fucking kidding me?
It's hockey, actually.
Oh, sorry. so they get on and they make an emotional broadcast where Matthew Broderick posits a world populated entirely by Godzillas. They convince the military to bomb the place, and they have exactly 6 minutes to leave. I timed it. They actually do it in 6 minutes.
Do they really?
Yeah. Anytime a movie goes like, we have a, and they say an amount of time, I'm like, putting on my stopwatch. Let's see if you hold to it.
I'm sure it's not very often.
Oh, no. Usually it's like, we have 2 minutes, and they do it in like a half an hour.
Oh, boy.
They say 6 minutes. They did it in 6 minutes.
Wow.
So they're running through the hallways to escape. There's a sweet Blockbuster promotional product placement.
I like that.
they have Godzilla, the baby Godzilla, slip on a bunch of gumballs like this is a Looney Tunes cartoon. They manage to get about 20 feet away from the stadium before F-18s explode, shoot it, missiles at it and explodes. And, you know, 20 feet is about as far as you need to get. And they're like, phew, we made it.
Yeah, no shrapnel, that doesn't matter.
Nope. Then Godzilla shows up again because he's not dead. What?
Just out of nowhere. Hey, I'm here.
Just out of nowhere.
And guess what we get here? Guess what scene we get here?
A car chase?
But a la what?
I don't know. What?
The T-Rex chasing
Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
You're right. This is the Tyrannosaurus Rex chase scene from Jurassic Park.
And I am talking right down to, like, every camera shot.
Every camera shot, and instead of saying, what's his name? Jeff Goldblum saying, must go faster. Hank Azaria's like, he's getting larger.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of forced perspective, he's coming closer to the camera. And it's stupid. Also, this is the point where I looked at the timer and I went, how are there 25 minutes left in this movie? Why is this movie so long?
Was there 25 minutes left at
yes,
this point?
Yes, from where he comes out of the ground, there is 25 minutes left. We run through the streets of Manhattan having a fucking car chase with Godzilla for like 15 minutes.
I must have fell asleep for some of that.
Oh, it's so long. So Godzilla is very sad because his babies are dead. He's like, I just wanted to start a family.
Oh, my God.
And he holds Ferris Bueller personally responsible. So now we just have the car chase. They get in a taxi cab, and Godzilla's following them all over the place. They get a hold of the military on the radio, and they're like, we're going to lure them to the Brooklyn Bridge. You guys turn the jets there and shoot them with your jet guns. And they're like, all right, we'll do that. And so they get cornered in a tunnel, and they have to get out. So they use the power of high beams from a 90s midsize sedan to blind him.
Hold on. I've got to say, I'm thinking about the speeds here. There's an earlier part in the movie where the helicopters are like, we're going 80 knots, and he's still gaining, or like, you know, getting away from us, and they're in a freaking taxi, and Godzilla can't catch them.
Well, yeah, it's stupid.
Okay, just wanted to put that out there. It seems
it's dumb. I mean, the whole movie is dumb. They get to the Brooklyn Bridge. He gets caught up in the suspension cables. They have to shoot him with like 12 rockets. I don't even, like, he must be made out of steel.
And he just, you know, he's all messed up and bloody and.
Right, he falls on the ground, and it's like, there's like this King Kong style where he's just dying, and it's sad because he's misunderstood. Like, 'twas beauty that killed the beast sort of thing. Godzilla's just laying there go, I'm sorry, I just wanted to, was just trying my best to be a single dad in a big city. and then the movie's over. That, and the end.
Thanks, Don.
Well,
yeah, that was something.
We went about 15 minutes over what we usually do, so why don't you do your review real quick and your suggestion, and then I'll do the same, and then I'll sign us off.
All right, yeah, so we got the review system. Either I don't know what they are, whatever.
Wait, they are I didn't hate it. It's a good party movie, meaning it's fun to watch it with friends and some beer and some pizza. It's a good hangover movie, meaning you've had too much beer and pizza with your friends last night and you need a movie to help you just get back to feeling better, or you hated it.
Well, I have to say I hated it because basically a lot of the movie just made me feel sad for Godzilla because, you know, he just, like you said, just wanted to start a family and they're just trying to blow him the hell up.
Just trying to be a single dad in a big city.
You know. I want to watch a Godzilla movie. I want to watch, you know, the old ones. I want to see Godzilla trying to destroy the city on purpose and breathe fire and fight other monsters.
He doesn't breathe fire once in this fucking
Not movie. Once. So, yeah, that's my thing. I hated it. I will never watch this movie again, and I will probably never speak of it again. Go ahead.
I also hated it. And I hate myself. If I could go back in time, you know, anybody's like, what would you do if you ever had a time machine? Everybody's like, I'd kill Hitler. I'd go back to 1998 when I was a fucking 10-year-old kid, and I'd slap myself in the face, and I'd say, don't go see Godzilla 3 times. Stop giving Roland Emmerich all of Dad's money. Like, it's so bad. It's so bad. Nobody can act. It's got this goofiness factor, which is atrocious. Godzilla looks like shit. It's terrible. I'm with you. You want to see a good Godzilla movie? See Godzilla from 1956. It's a great movie. It actually has some weight to Godzilla being there, and it has some emotional push behind it, especially if you watch the original Japanese version. But if you're looking for something a little lighter, Godzilla vs. King Kong is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, if you would like to send us any questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, you can send us hate mail at moviehotdog@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at moviehotdog. You can like us on Facebook at This Movie Was a Hot Dog. You can send us any comments there. You can send us any messages. That is actually how we got this suggestion. So if you have a suggestion for a movie, pop us a message. We'll be more than happy to check it out. And if you get this on iTunes, please rate and review and subscribe. Do the same thing for Podomatic because that actually helps the show get seen and heard. So, other than that, do you have anything else to say, my brother?
I'm sad now. So, you can go ahead and sign us off because...
Well, this movie was probably the hot doggiest hot dog we've ever fucking watched.